Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible for the 11th day of December. I'm Brian. It's great to be here with you today, where the cold has descended upon the rolling hills of Tennessee. It was like we would have had the most beautiful snowstorm. It rained so much over the last couple of days, but now it's clear and freezing cold, which I like because it's Christmas time. I hope it's very Christmas-like wherever you are. And I realize those of you in the Southern Hemisphere are experiencing summer. Nevertheless, I trust it's Christmas time wherever you are. We're reading from the New Living Translation this week. Today, Amos chapter 4, verse 1 through 6, 14 from the Old Testament. Listen to me, you fat cows living in Samaria, you women who oppress the poor and crush the needy, and who are always calling to your husbands, "Bring us another drink." The Sovereign Lord has sworn this by His holiness. The time will come when you will be led away with hooks in your noses. Every last one of you will be dragged away like a fish on a hook. You will be led out through the ruins of the wall. You will be thrown from your fortresses, says the Lord. Go ahead and offer sacrifices to the idol at Bethel. Keep on disobeying at Gilgal. Offer sacrifices each morning and bring your tithes every 3 days. Present your bread made with yeast as an offering of thanksgiving. Then give your extra voluntary offerings so you can brag about it everywhere. This is the kind of thing you Israelites love to do, says the Sovereign Lord. I brought hunger to every city and famine to every town, but still you would not return to me, says the Lord. I kept the rain from falling when your crops needed it the most. I sent rain on one town but withheld it from another. Rain fell on one field while another field withered away. People staggered from town to town looking for water, but there was never enough. But still you would not return to me, says the Lord. I struck your farms and vineyards with blight and mildew. Locusts devoured all your fig and olive trees, but still you would not return to me, says the Lord. I sent plagues on you, like the plagues I sent on Egypt long ago. I killed your young men in war and led all your horses away. The stench of death filled the air, but still you would not return to me, says the Lord. I destroyed some of your cities, as I destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Those of you who survived were like charred sticks pulled from a fire, but still you would not return to me, says the Lord. Therefore I will bring upon you all the disasters I have announced. Prepare to meet your God in judgment, you people of Israel. For the Lord is the one who shaped the mountains, stirs up the winds, and reveals His thoughts to mankind. He turns the light of dawn into darkness and treads on the heights of the earth. The Lord God of heaven's armies is His name. Listen, you people of Israel. Listen to this funeral song I am singing. The virgin Israel has fallen, never to rise again. She lies abandoned on the ground with no one to help her up. The Sovereign Lord says, when a city sends 1,000 men to battle, only 100 will return. When a town sends 100, only 10 will come back alive. Now this is what the Lord says to the family of Israel. Come back to me and live. Don't worship at the pagan altars at Bethel. Don't go to the shrines at Gilgal or Beersheba. For the people of Gilgal will be dragged off into exile, and the people of Bethel will be reduced to nothing. Come back to the Lord and live. Otherwise, He will roar through Israel like a fire, devouring you completely. Your gods in Bethel won't be able to quench the flames. You twist justice, making it a bitter pill for the oppressed. You treat the righteous like dirt. It is the Lord who created the stars, the Pleiades and Orion. He turns darkness into morning and day into night. He draws up water from the oceans and pours it down as rain on the land. The Lord is His name. With blinding speed and power, he destroys the strong, crushing all their defenses. How you hate honest judges. How you despise people who tell the truth. You trample the poor, stealing their grain through taxes and unfair rent. Therefore, though you build beautiful stone houses, you will never live in them. Though you plant lush vineyards, you will never drink wine from them. For I know the vast number of your sins and the depth of your rebellions. You oppress good people by taking bribes and deprive the poor of justice in the courts. So those who are smart keep their mouths shut, for it is an evil time. Do what is good and run from evil, so that you may live. Then the Lord God of heaven's armies will be your helper, just as you have claimed. Hate evil and love what is good. Turn your courts into true halls of justice. Perhaps even yet the Lord God of heaven's armies will have mercy on the remnant of his people. Therefore, this is what the Lord God of heaven's armies, says. There will be crying in all the public squares and mourning in every street. Call for the farmers to weep with you and summon professional mourners to wail. There will be wailing in every vineyard, for I will destroy them all, says the Lord. What sorrow awaits you who say, if only the day of the Lord were here. You have no idea what you are wishing for. That day will bring darkness, not light. And that day you will be like a man who runs from a lion only to meet a bear. Escaping from the bear, he leans his hand against a wall in his house, and he's bitten by a snake. Yes, the day of the Lord will be dark and hopeless, without a ray of joy or hope. I hate all your show and pretense, the hypocrisy of your religious festivals and solemn assemblies. I will not accept your burnt offerings and grain offerings. I won't even notice all your choice peace offerings. Away with your noisy hymns of praise. I will not listen to the music of your harps. Instead, I want to see a mighty flood of justice, an endless river of righteous living. Was it to me you were bringing sacrifices and offerings during the 40 years in the wilderness, Israel? No, you served your pagan gods, Succoth, your king god, and Kaiwan, your star god, the images you made for yourselves. So I will send you into exile to a land east of Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is the God of heaven's armies. What sorrow awaits you who lounge in luxury in Jerusalem, and you who feel secure in Samaria. You are famous and popular in Israel, and people go to you for help. But go over to Calneh and see what happened there. Then go to the great city of Hamath and down to the Philistine city of Gath. You are no better than they were. And look at how they were destroyed. You push away every thought of coming disaster, but your actions only bring the day of judgment closer. How terrible for you who sprawl on ivory beds and lounge on your couches, eating the meat of tender lambs from the flock and of the choice calves fattened in the stall. You sing trivial songs to the sound of the harp and fancy yourselves to be great musicians like David. You drink wine by the bowlful and perfume yourselves with fragrant lotions. You care nothing about the ruin of your nation. Therefore, you will be the first to be led away as captives. Suddenly, all your parties will end. The Sovereign Lord has sworn by his own name, and this is what he, the Lord, God of heaven's armies, says. I despise the arrogance of Israel, and I hate their fortresses. I will give this city and everything in it to their enemies. If there are 10 men left in one house, they will all die. And when a relative who is responsible to dispose of the dead goes into the house to carry out the bodies, he will ask the last survivor, "Is anyone else with you?" When the person begins to swear, "No, by..." he will interrupt and say, "Stop, don't even mention the name of the Lord." when the Lord gives the command, homes, both great and small, will be smashed to pieces? Can horses gallop over boulders? Can oxen be used to plow them? But that's how foolish you are when you turn justice into poison and the sweet fruit of righteousness into bitterness, and you brag about your conquest of Lodabar. You boast, didn't we take Carnaim by our own strength? O people of Israel, I am about to bring an enemy nation against you, says the Lord God of heaven's armies. They will oppress you throughout your land, from Libo Hamath in the north to the Arabah Valley in the south. Revelation 2:18-3:6. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Thyatira. This is the message from the Son of God, whose eyes are like flames of fire, whose feet are like polished bronze. I know all the things you do. I have seen your love, your faith, your service, and your patient endurance. And I can see your constant improvement in all these things. But I have this complaint against you. You are permitting that woman, that Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet, to lead my servants astray. She teaches them to commit sexual sin and to eat food offered to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she does not want to turn away from her immorality. Therefore, I will throw her on a bed of suffering, and those who commit adultery with her will suffer greatly, unless they repent and turn away from her evil deeds. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am the one who searches out the thoughts and intentions of every person, and I will give to each of you whatever you deserve. But I also have a message for the rest of you in Thyatira who have not followed this false teaching. Deeper truths, as they call them, depths of Satan, actually. I will ask nothing more of you, except that you hold tightly to what you have until I come. To all who are victorious, who obey me to the very end, to them I will give authority over all the nations. They will rule the nations with an iron rod and smash them like clay pots. They will have the same authority I received from my Father, and I will also give them the morning star. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Sardis. This is the message from the one who has the sevenfold Spirit of God and the seven stars. I know all the things you do, and that you have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what little remains, for even what is left is almost dead. I find that your actions do not meet the requirements of my God. Go back to what you heard and believed at first. Hold to it firmly. Repent and turn to me again. If you don't wake up, I will come to you suddenly, as unexpected as a thief. Yet there are some in the church in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes with evil. They will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. All who are victorious will be clothed in white. I will never erase their names from the book of life, but I will announce before my Father and his angels that they are mine. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Psalm 130. A song for pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem. From the depths of despair, O Lord, I call for your help. Hear my cry, O Lord. pay attention to my prayer. Lord, if you kept a record of our sins, who, O Lord, could ever survive? But you offer forgiveness that we might learn to fear you. I am counting on the Lord. Yes, I am counting on him. I have put my hope in his word. I long for the Lord more than centuries long for the dawn. Yes, more than centuries long for the dawn. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is unfailing love. His redemption overflows. He himself will redeem Israel from every kind of sin. Proverbs 29, 21, and 22. A servant pampered from childhood will become a rebel. An angry person starts fights. A hot-tempered person commits all kinds of sin. The prophecy from the book of Amos and the prophetic words in the book of Revelation dovetail together in that they end with the Lord saying, you will face me straight on. And it's not a particularly good day. The book of Revelation says, I will come suddenly like an unexpected thief. The book of Amos says, prepare to meet your God in judgment, you people of Israel. That's just daunting to think of the sovereign God coming in judgment. Previous to this being stated in the book of Amos, God says all of these things that have come upon the people. And he ends each paragraph, each stanza with, but still, you wouldn't return to me. But still, you wouldn't return to me. But still, you wouldn't come back. And as I was reading that, I was reflecting over my own life. All of the earlier years as a young man, all of the different things that I faced, all of the unnecessary hardship, all of the unnecessary heartbreak, all of the foolish choices and decisions, but still, I wouldn't return to him. And I think we all share this story. And to many varying levels and degrees, we still share this story. And what is it about us that we feel as if we can get on a certain pattern, a certain track, and move for a certain period of time flowing with the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, moving toward the will of God in our lives, being sanctified and made more like Jesus, only to take an exit and end up somewhere lost, not knowing which way is back anymore, and then getting frustrated with the Lord because our job isn't working out the way we wanted, or our relationships aren't working out the way that we wanted, or we're suffering some sort of heartbreak from some choices that we shouldn't have made, and we're dealing with the repercussions of our choices and our lifestyle, and still we won't return to him. We redouble our efforts and try to make all the right decisions, and still we won't return to him. And then we cross the path and get back on it for a while and then divert again. What is this that we live this way when the path of life is right before us and the counsel of Scripture is available to us every single day? We don't have to live that way. What is it that keeps us jumping back and forth, on and off the path of holiness? Why do we do this? And I think about the word that I feel is the word for 2013. Each year I go to God and I ask him for some advance word, at least for my life, but I speak it over the community because it involves this community. And over the years, it's proven true in many, many lives. But for me, I'm asking, God, can you give me true north? Can you give me a North Star for the next year? Something that I can go back to as I face all of the unknown things that each day and each season might bring. Something that I can return to and have some context for what's going on. This year was a year of shift. And it was. And honestly, had I not had that, a lot of this year would have been very confusing to me. Very, very troubling, very difficult. Not that it wasn't anyway, but having context, this is what's going on. This is what the Lord spoke that would be going on this year. And I believe the Lord spoke the word rhythm over the year 2013. And I believe what he's saying is, shifted many things in your life. And everything has brought you here. But it's time to actually stay with it. Stay with the rhythm of life. The life and path that I've shifted you on. Stay with the rhythm of it all year. Don't get off the path at all. Don't divert and end up lost somewhere. Knowing the way back, don't even go there. You don't have to live that way. So yes, it's about the rhythm of the Bible in our lives each and every day. It's about the rhythm of a conversational intimacy with God every day. Those are the things that we need in our lives. But it's about just simply not choosing to do what we know is wrong. I was talking to my son Max about that just a couple of days ago. Because he was like, I'm getting in trouble. Why do I get in trouble? And why this and why that? And it's not fair. And Max has quite a sense of justice. He has quite a sense of what is and what isn't fair. And he needs fair. He's not a black and white, just kind of straight up and down kind of kid. But when something is unjust, he has that deep sense that this is wrong. And I said, Max, this is put in you by God. We all have this thing placed in us that as we're about to choose to do something, we know we're doing what's wrong. We know that this is not right. Most of the time we choose to do it anyway because we want it more than we care about what's right or wrong. We don't count the cost. We don't weigh out the repercussions because more often than not, they're subtle. They just end up making us exit off the path onto the access road. So we're running along the main highway on an access road, but still moving along until the access road makes a turn away. And there's no way back on. And we have to follow the path as our decisions systematically lead us away from where we're intended to be. I mean, God has given us the path of life. It's narrow, but it's epic. And it leads into his arms. And he has promised to walk it with us. Sort of like the ultimate tour guide through life, showing us all of the beautiful hidden vistas that we would miss. And it's all available. And yet we want to navigate ourselves. And it never works. I believe the Lord is inviting us in the coming year to not do that, to fall into the rhythm of his heartbeat and step on the epic path of holiness every single day and not divert at all. And I think he's saying, just watch what a year of holiness could look like. Watch what the rhythm of the Bible in your life and a conversational intimacy with me and not diverting to the left or the right at all for your watch what I will do in your life. As much as the Bible might change things in a year, watch what walking the path of holiness in lockstep, in rhythm, will do in your life. And I am longing for that. And that is the word for the next year. I don't want to come to Amos next year and read, "But still, you wouldn't return to me," and have there be any shred of truth in that in my own life. I don't want to come to the book of Revelation next year and hear Jesus say, "I'll show up unexpected. It'll be like an unexpected thief," and have that bring up anything in my heart other than, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." So may we relinquish our lust for control, and may we follow the rhythm that Jesus has offered us, the rhythm of honest, authentic life.
If I were a car crash, would you look at me then? What's so attractive about a tragedy? Well, there's nothing so tragic as one might have been. So is it really easier to run than just believe? So you're lost behind the wheel, searching with your eyes for the unseen. Come on and let go, let me drive it home. You want it set free, now all you are is alone. Come on and let go, let me drive it home. Redemption was the point when I rolled away the stone. So let me drive it home. Raindrops big as Texas, colliding with the highway, just on the desperate side of Abilene. So you pull off to the shoulder and let the storm blow over. And there you are alone with your pride and a vacant passenger seat. And if this is all there is, then hope is just a liar and a thief.
To turn.
to